Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's read from the 22nd verse of the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Let's pray. O Lord, in this culture and time today, I pray that you would give me wisdom and understanding to express the truth of what you mean and what you're talking about in these three verses. Lord, I pray that all of our hearts will be softened, both male and female, so that we would receive the word that you have chosen to give us this morning. And I pray that you would help me to speak only what you would have said this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Okay, we've come to what is probably one of the most controversial set of verses in the entire Bible in today's modern context. And it's a challenging one for me to proclaim and speak the truth in, because there's so much confusion all around it. The culture takes exception to this idea of wives submitting to their husbands, so much so that in some sectors of Christianity, they've gone to the viewpoint that this idea of submitting is that wives should submit to their husbands and husbands should submit to their wives. The only problem is that that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say that. It says wives should submit to their husbands and husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. I want to take note, men, that three verses are addressed towards wives, but yet a whole bunch more is addressed toward husbands and how they behave with their wives. And we'll be getting into that over the next couple of weeks, which is another important thing to grasp. I can deal with the subject of wives submitting to their husbands in one sermon, but addressing husbands with everything that the Lord says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33, is going to take two or three sermons to a deal with the husbands. Thank you for agreeing with me, Neva. I'll also point out here to husbands, just to speak briefly to them before we deal with us over the next several weeks. If a husband is handling his life correctly and is loving his wife as Christ loved the church, you're making it easy for your wife to submit to you. And that's what we should do, men. We should make it easy for our wives to submit to us. Okay, now, back to verses 22 through 24 and addressing the women and the wives in the room. This idea in verse 22 of wives submitting to their husbands, it flows out of the command earlier of being filled with the Spirit in verse 18. Lord, Paul tells us in verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Out of being filled with the Spirit, can wives submit to their husbands. But without the Holy Spirit, women will revert to their natural tendency as given to them at the fall through Eve's efforts in the Garden of Eden. Let's just take a look at that real quick. Genesis chapter 3. chapter 3, verse 16. This is Eve's consequences for disobeying God in the Garden of Eden that are thus then passed on to women throughout eternity on this earth. Verse 16, to the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Other translations will translate desire as desire to rule over your husband. So it is the natural tendency of women to resist submission to their husbands. That is why it can only happen with the power of the Holy Spirit at work within them. In Paul's day, wives submitted to men as an inferior gender. That was the way the Greco-Roman culture viewed women, as an inferior class of people. And as such, they had to submit to their husbands and to other men as inferior class and gender. However, by virtue of the Old Testament in Genesis 2, 20 through 25, Paul sees women as equal in essence to men. It is in roles that they are different. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 2. Should have told you to keep your finger there. Verses 20 through 25. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of heaven and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of the ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This is at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." So we see here, by essence of the creation of woman, they are co-equals in their humanity, which was a huge step up in the view of women from the rest of the culture in Ephesus during Paul's day. So what am I trying to say by all this? Am I trying to say that women should be lucky that Christians and that Paul views them as equal? Well, in a certain sense, yes, especially given the context of the culture in that day. But more importantly, they should be glad that God the Father views women in such a high regard as to consider them equal in essence to men. There's no second-class females in the Bible, in the New Testament, and in Christianity. There is just men and women equals in essence. The other critical thing to see here is wives are to submit to their own husbands. The structure of the original language here makes it clear women are to submit to their husbands, not men in general, which again was a huge step forward for women in Paul's day. Because in Paul's day, the women were expected to submit to all men in their culture. Someone can rightfully raise the question, but we don't live in the Ephesian culture of that day. We live in the modern context. And I would say, even in our modern context, We know that there are individuals and groups who view women as an inferior gender, and they treat them as second class or even third class, using them wantonly without any thought to their own dignity and humanity. The Bible speaks clearly that that is not how women are to be viewed and how they are to be treated. The Bible speaks about treating them as loving co-heirs with Christ. That's the way the Bible views women. So when we come to this idea of wives submitting to their husband, they are to do so out of love for Christ. Men, I want to speak to you again for a second. It is not the responsibility of the husband to ensure his wife's submission. That is for the Holy Spirit to do. If a wife is resisting submitting to her husband in the right way, then the Holy Spirit must work within her to cause her to want to submit in the correct way, and not us trying to coerce her or any other way of getting her to do what we want her to do. The other aspect here of verse 22 is that wives are to willingly submit to their husbands in a loving act of self-yielding. Remember earlier when I mentioned to men they should make it easy for their wives to submit because they're acting in such a Christ-like way and loving their wives in such a Christ-like way that it's easy for the wife to submit to the husband. At this point, it's useful to define the idea of submitting. What does submitting mean? And what, more importantly, what does it not mean? Okay. We'll start with what it does not mean. It does not mean that wives should submit to their husbands in abusive ways, whether it's physical or verbal abuse. Wives should not be submitting to their husbands as a doormat to just receive that. That's a common view of what biblical submission is in the culture around us, especially in the feminist time of our day. Instead of learning to really understand what it means for a wife to submit, they take it to the extreme and say that we say wives are supposed to submit to their husbands in everything, including abusive situations. That is not what Scripture says, and that is not what we say as Christians. Instead, what we say is that in a loving way, out of love towards their husbands, in part because their husbands are being so Christ-like to them, and out of their love for Christ Himself, they willingly submit, just as Genesis chapter 3 outlines for the relationship and the roles of men and women. It doesn't mean they should submit to them when they're being stupid. That seems to have struck a chord. Now, that idea of don't submit to them when they're being stupid has a qualifier to it. If you have talked with your husband, shared with him your ideas and your point of view about the situation or the subject of a decision, and you have prayed and asked the Lord to step in and to address your husband and to cause him to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, and he still resists all of that and goes ahead with the decision he's making, then in that case, you should submit and trust God to change and work on your husband's heart. I would also give the advice to women that you should duck, because a big 2x4 is going to be swung in his direction any minute. it is possible for women to interfere with God's discipline with their husbands by continuing to resist. That's why I encourage you to duck. And then the Lord will deal with him according to his timetable and his purposes. And the more difficult and the more resistant and rebellious your husband gets, the more difficult things are going to get for him. So that's the idea of what is not meant by wives submitting to your husbands. So now that we've defined what it does not mean, now we define what it does mean. As a co-equal in essence, the husband and the wife should be in synchronization. It's easy to submit to your husband when he's agreeing to do the thing you want to do, right? If you're in agreement about what should be done or the decision that should be made, then it's easy to submit to him. The difficult part becomes when there's a conflict between husband and wife about a decision that needs to be made. So if the wife has expressed her views in a Christ-like way, and then the husband, under the power of the Holy Spirit, listens to his wife, and here I need to take a moment and step aside and say, men, God gave you your wives for a reason. He did not intend for you as a married man to go through life trying to figure it all out by yourself. Men, he gave you your wife as a helpmeet. And the most important helpmeet she can be is to tell you things you have not thought about yet or considered or ideas that you haven't really thought about either. Listen to your wife in a loving way. Receive what she's going to tell you and think deeply about it. And then discuss the ideas with her, and especially the important decisions. Now, back to verse 22. I know I'm spending a lot of time on verse 22, but it's the most important one in this whole section. Paul tells us that wives are submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. The idea of as to the Lord shows a wife's commitment to Christ, not out of a notion of inferiority, as did the Ephesian culture, but out of love for Christ and obedience to him. And again, I want to emphasize, we're going to spend a lot of time about husbands in the next 3 weeks. But again, I want to emphasize to men the importance of loving your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. The idea of the head here, that the husband is the head of the wife, denotes the idea of priority or preeminence. What does that mean? That means that as the head, the wife is expected to defer to him at the end of the day. You're both there as co-equals discussing the subjects or the decision. Men are supposed to listen to their wives because their wives have wisdom that we don't have on a particular subject or idea. And then at the end of the day, when all that discussion has been completed, the wife is to defer to her husband on the decision that's to be made. That's what being the head means. We'll get into this more deeply over the next 3 weeks, But I have to tell you, men, that is a great weight that we have on our shoulders. If our wives, out of love for Christ, defer to us on the decision that needs to be made, if so, then we have a tremendous weight of responsibility because our decision will affect our wife. My going out and buying a motorcycle will affect my wife. It will affect her sense of security and safety about me riding on the motorcycle. It can be a positive in ways that it can affect her by riding the motorcycle with me, and the two of us are enjoying time together in a special and unique way. And it can build emotional intimacy. But the fear of something happening to their husband on the motorcycle is probably the biggest and strongest influence in decision-making or impact upon a wife by buying a motorcycle. So we carry this great weight of responsibility about affecting our wives with the decision that we make. Perhaps a more useful illustration would be the reality that at the end of the day, we have to make the decision about if your wife defers to you out of love for Christ. We have to make this decision about the car, about the house, about everything else around us, and how that impacts our wife, and how that impacts her walk with Christ. Men, we can impede our wives' progress in sanctification by being selfish. Let's look at verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. It's important to note here, for the men, verse 25 comes into play. As I mentioned earlier, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And in doing so, if the husband does such a thing, it'll make it easier for the wife to submit to their husband out of obedience to Christ. It's important here to note that these ideas of wife submittings are not commands. Fascinatingly enough, they are not a command. There's no imperative here. It's just the indicative, which means Paul is stating the idea that wives should submit to their husbands as a matter of fact. What does that mean? That means women have a choice. They have a choice in how they respond to their husbands, in what the decisions are being made, and in how they are thinking through the process of doing something. I'm getting so much into the next set of verses. But men are typically long-term thinkers. Typically, sometimes we're very short-term thinkers, as in the next 5 minutes. But generally speaking, men are longer-term thinkers, and they're thinking through a decision from the impact of its long-term. Women tend to be a little more focused on the immediate part of the decision and what will be the immediate impacts of a decision. That is why husbands and wives are together. One looks long term, one looks shorter term, and then by combining the two together as one flesh, can the decision be made? Then we come to the last phrase of verse 24. so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. In everything, of course, doesn't mean everything. I outline the negative parts of what should not be the case. Abusive situations being primary example. But what it does mean in everything is the all areas of life. Husbands are supposed to be looking out for their wives in every area of life, and wives are supposed to be submitting to their husband as he is loving them as Christ loved the church in every area of their life. At the expense of stepping off into the deep end of the pool and drowning, every area of life would include the physical body and nature of the wife. If a husband is truly loving his wife as Christ loved the church, he would say something to her about her body out of loving kindness, out of what is helpful and best, not out of self-centeredness for sexual pleasure. So what am I really trying to say? If a husband is concerned about the wife's eating habits, about her weight, and the concerned about the health of her body as a result of her weight, she should listen to her husband as he describes to her the concerns that he has. If he is loving her as Christ loved the church. Now, we have another problem to address. Can't just sort of bypass it and pretend it's not there. And that is, what about the wife who has an unsaved husband? One who doesn't even understand the concept of loving the church as Christ loved the church. Is she supposed to submit to her husband? Yes, sometimes. Again, beginning with the very basics ideas that submission is not for abusive situations. It's not out of self-centeredness. Those situations are still applicable for the wife who has an unsaved husband. What she is supposed to do is try to express her thoughts and ideas to her husband before he makes a decision. And then once she's done that, she has to trust the Lord, has to turn it over to the Lord and trust that he will impact and through the power of the Spirit affect her husband into the way that he should be thinking about a particular decision. That's what the Bible expects. It may not fit well with some wives, and I understand, especially in the case of an unsaved husband. But I'm telling you what Scripture says, and then you have to decide what you're going to do with what it says. I've spoken about husbands who are not loving their wife as Christ loved the church, and how wives are to respond to that. I've spoken to the subject of wives who have unsaved husbands. And I've spoken to what real submission is. And I'll just summarize it by saying, ultimately, the decision by a wife to submit to her husband's decision on a subject or an idea is an act of love for Christ, because he has called women to do that out of an act of love towards him. And that's all I got to say about that. Let's pray. O Lord, thank you for the words you have given us this morning through your word for obedience to you. Lord, I pray that these words would not reach our hearts and harden them, Lord, but that it would soften our hearts to be more obedient to you both as husbands and as wives. And Lord, I thank you for this time. I even thank you for this subject, as difficult as it is to deal with. I praise you for your word and the way it instructs us and informs us in how to be a Christian that is obedient to the calling of Christ. And Father, I pray that you would do even more to explain this passage through the power of the Spirit to the people here, because of my inability to explain it completely. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.